podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download that app from your app store. Go to your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store, look for the Odyssey app. Download it, look for WILK News Radio, favorite it, and that's it. You got us. You can go back, the rewind feature, check the chapters, listen anywhere in the nation, hook it up to your car, play as you're cruising around. I was doing that on Friday morning when I was headed down to Virginia Beach. Did it again on my way back up on Sunday. How's everybody doing? Hopefully your weekend was okay. Yesterday, coming back, spent most of Mother's Day with my children's mom next to me, my wife of almost 30 years, coming on 30 years the end of this year. But spent 7 hours in the car, came home another 2 hours on the tractor. So we had to leave at a certain time. We left by 10 o'clock so I could be home with enough time of daylight to cut the grass. And the grass, with all that rain we had, I couldn't really cut it. So it was up there. I had to cut it a lot higher than I normally cut it. Probably have to get it again before next week. I will be here all this week. Next week, it's my daughter's graduation from the Naval Academy. We'll be down for commissioning week. And yes, it's a week of festivities. But we're going to see if we can have something for you here planned. Lots going on today, though. We'll get back to the weekend in just a second. But the Dow Jones is up 1,130 points. The NASDAQ is up 755. Standard & Poor's up 177. And everything else across the board's up. Apple, Google, FTSE, Under Armour, Tesla, Amazon, Home Depot, Nike, Boeing, GE Aerospace, the Walt Disney Company. Oh, everything's up. Starbucks is even up 5.69. Bitcoin took a little dive, though. So if you're into that Bitcoin, that cryptocurrency, you know, you've been playing the fence there. Also, we have the great news that the last living American citizen, American hostage, he has dual citizenship with Israel, was released today. Eden Alexander, the last known living American hostage held in Gaza, was released today following negotiations with the U.S., Qatar, and Egypt. And hopefully the release is seen as part of this whole axis of evil that's going on over there, all stymied by Iran. We also have the ceasefire right now that's continuing with the Houthi rebels in Yemen. And again, all centering around Iran, who's the basically funder and supplier for a lot of the shenanigans that are going on in the Middle East right now. You do have the president and our administration headed over to the Middle East this week. Qatar being one of the stops that is going to be there. Saudi Arabia is going to be another one. So we'll see what happens with that. There is said to be some big news coming of it. But I think every time the current president, Donald Trump, speaks, it's something huge. Something huge is going to happen. Something huge. So we'll see what's happening there. It's interesting because, you know, I was in and out of doing things as we were moving my daughter in, who relocated down to Virginia Beach from Western Pennsylvania. You know, she took a job as a nurse down there. She was able to get the keys to her new apartment. And it's always, you know, nerve-wracking. She's our middle daughter, but still our daughter. You know, moving to a new place, you know, what's the place like? You read reviews online, and some of them are horrible. This is the worst place ever. And some of them, oh, this is like living in a resort. So it's kind of hard to decipher and get through the mix there. Very good working class neighborhood. Very nice apartment. Very nice complex. A lot of amenities. Indoor, outdoor pool. A couple of dog parks. Ponds throughout the community with these big fountains. Geese with all their geeslings or goslings, whatever you call them, and ducks with some of their babies running around. Real animal friendly. She does have her dog and her cat, but real animal friendly with all the dog parks and everything going around. A lot of people walking around her age. A lot of military because of the military town it is. You have Norfolk on one side. You have Oceana Air Base, the super air base for the Navy on the other side, right in between of everything. Actually, she's only about 2 miles, and the jets fly over her house like they're going to land on the roof, which I love. And that was one of the things that people in the reviews complained about. But listen, if you're going to move next to a Navy air base, you have to realize there's going to be jets coming in. And they're not bad. They start about 8 in the morning, and they go to about 9 at night. After that, there's really nothing unless there's an emergency coming in after 9. And very few and far between. And on weekends, it's sporadic, but they were out and about. But I love the sound of freedom. I don't know about you. So it really doesn't affect us at all. And her animals actually did real well with it. That was one of the things we were worried about. So that was all done and moved in. Again, a nice place, nice location, good neighbors. A lot of the neighbors came down to introduce themselves and say hello. So that was nice to see as parents, you know, watching. We don't have any kids now who live in Pennsylvania anymore. She was the last one. You know, all our kids are out and about, and done. You know, our daughter who's graduating next week, you know, she's headed to Quantico, Virginia for 6 months, and then after that headed down to Pensacola, Florida for what's probably about 2 years, depending on where else training calls. But we'll see how that happens now. But one of the things reading through our local papers this weekend, I saw that there was an article yesterday that kind of chastised Republicans and Democrats for being friendly with each other, even at a cancer fundraiser, which I find quite low, is if that's going to be your bar. You would think something like that would and should bring people together. But I guess you have to be a certain type of Democrat, and now we're labeling certain type of Republicans. And you're not allowed to cross mix. You're not allowed to hang out with each other. You're not allowed to take photos. You're not allowed to do any of that stuff. So just so you know, those are the new rules now being set by some. I think you should read that and laugh at who puts that garbage out, as you should. And, you know, be who you want. You can have different thoughts. You can believe in different things. You could vote for different people. Oh, go imagine that. Imagine a world like that. But, you know, there's real Democrats now, and then there's fake Democrats, and then there's Republicans, and then there's, you know, the MAGA Republicans. But what was interesting is what took place in Washington, where our congressman, Rob Bresnahan, well, my congressman, some of our, you know, some of you don't have him. I would say about half of our listeners out there, their congressman, Rob Bresnahan, bucked parties to vote with the Democrats. And the House committee that he belongs to rejected an amendment that basically protected the Scranton to New York City train project. And you know how I feel about this. It's be careful what you wish for. I do see the benefits, but I also see the downside of it. I just, because I've seen these projects come to fruition. I've seen these type of effects on communities if they're not prepared for them, if they're not ready to deal and take a hard line as far as what they will tolerate and what they won't tolerate, not playing catch up after it's here. Hey, the train's coming to Scranton now. Now what are we going to do? And that seems to be the atmosphere here locally. You know, let's see. Let's wait till it's coming here, and then we'll figure it out. No, that's not going to work. Once it's coming here, your problems are already here. Not figuring it out at that point. You have to have a solid plan on what to deal with it. But Rob Bresnahan did vote with Democrats here. And listen, you could support Rob Bresnahan, you could not support Rob Bresnahan, but you have to take this for what it is. Here's someone who made a promise to Northeast Pennsylvania to put them first, to put the people, his neighbors first, and he did that. Now, is that at the detriment of his own party? Is it, you know, who cares? He obviously doesn't. He supported a proposed amendment that would have added protections for the project to restore passenger rail service between Scranton and New York, an amendment the GOP-controlled House committee recently rejected. The failure of that and other amendments, Democrats on the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, which Rob sits on, Congressman Bresnahan, proposed before the committee approved its budget reconciliation proposal. Part of the broader budget reconciliation package congressional Republicans are pursuing to implement key elements of what they're calling the Big Beautiful Bill. It doesn't derail the local passenger train project, but they would have added safeguards for it long-sought development. So basically, it was like, hey, you can't decide to wipe this off the slate in the future, this amendment would have said. You know, if this would have went through, it would have gave exactly what it says, another safeguard that this train is should happen. Now, is that a good idea for the people of Northeast Pennsylvania, for the people who want a train, who are adamant that this is the best thing since internet? And look how much damage the internet has done to us, to our kids, to our area, to not just our area, to humanity, to be honest with you. But it's still moving forward, but is there the proper infrastructure in place for this rail service? Now, if you look at the rail service, I don't think it's going to be this, let's commute to New York City for our new job type thing. I mean, this Amtrak passenger train runs between Scranton and Manhattan's Penn Station with stops in Mount Pocono, East Stroudsburg, Blairstown, Dover, Morristown, Montclair, and Newark. With all those stops, it would be quicker to drive. And depending on how many people you're commuting with and splitting the cost, would it be cheaper? That has yet to be seen as well. They're talking about this new entity here that is going to bring this economy to us. And you're talking about $82 million for the entire line, not just here in our end. And again, I've talked about it here. Do we have the law enforcement presence in place for this type of train service here? Do we have the public works footprint in place to make sure the parking infrastructure? I mean, our parking system in the city of Scranton has been up and down as far as a nightmare. We sold it. We shouldn't have sold it. Do we have this ready to go? And, you know, you look at some of the estimates of when this train could actually happen, you're looking at possibly as early as 2028. I don't have faith in our local elected leaders to gear up any sort of preparation for something like this. Listen, there was a they call it a trolley service, but it was basically a rail service in San Diego that went from downtown San Diego to this mall that was like 20 miles north of San Diego. It connected all the outside neighborhoods and this mall shopping area to downtown San Diego. It became an utter nightmare for crime. It became an utter nightmare for police. The issues that to this day, the departments there, the law enforcement departments had to fix law enforcement at these locations while it was operational because it has gotten that bad. And it has brought the downtown San Diego element that you move to the suburbs to get away from, let's be honest, out there to hang out and prey on, victimize as easy targets for criminal elements. And this doesn't necessitate anyone. This is everyone. If you're a criminal, you're a criminal. And they've had a great problem out there with it. And we've seen the same in our areas too. First of all, I don't see outside of the recreational trip to New York City or to one of these areas in New Jersey or back, I don't see that as a main thoroughfare to change the dynamics of where you could work. But to get back to the gist of the story, maybe it's a good thing that this safeguard wasn't passed. But Congressman Rob Bresnahan, a congressman from here in Northeast Pennsylvania, who's taken a lot of heat from Democrats because they say, he's just going to be a yes vote for Trump. Well, didn't. And this comes on the same weekend that Trump actually endorsed Rob Bresnahan as a congressman. So it's interesting to see the dynamic here. From my perspective looking at this, I'm glad this safeguard was not passed. But you have to have a hell of a lot of respect for someone like a Rob Bresnahan to buck his own party, side with Democrats to do what he said he would do. Stand up for the people in Northeast Pennsylvania. Now, he said on this show, and he said in plenty of other places, that he's looking at this rail project in a positive light, but cautiously. And I think that's the way to move forward. So it was interesting that, he's basically doing the opposite of these silly commercials that we're hearing every day and targeting him as a Republican congressman for our area. He did exactly what he said he would do. He standing up for the people of Northeast Pennsylvania for what they have brought to him as their concerns and wants and needs, and said that he is cautiously optimistic about this rail project, voted for this that would made it more difficult to make this kind of project go away. But from my point of view, I'm glad this safeguard didn't pass. It didn't take the project away. The project is still moving forward at this point. And I think it should be exactly what was said, looked at in a cautious, thorough manner to make sure the infrastructure is in place once this thing does come here. And I haven't heard any of that. Do you see the city of Scranton putting capital money aside for this rail project that comes here to hire more police officers, to hire more vehicles, to hire different to buy different types of vehicles, to hire more public work trucks to make sure the roads are plowed for parking in the wintertime when this train is operational? I haven't seen any of that. So until I see that, are the local municipalities taking this as seriously as they want to make us believe it is? We'll see. It's 324 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Texter texted in and says, Rob, I live in Baltimore. The light rail was shut down for repair for 14 months, and crime was down so much that the Hunt Valley Mall no longer wanted them to stop there when it resumed. And that's the story in a lot of places around the nation, and it's going to be no different here. Somebody else said, don't forget the need to hire transit police and vehicles they're going to drive, also the radio communication between them. The rail service does have their transit police. Now, if it comes into Pennsylvania, that's a different avenue. But we're going to need local, higher staffing of local police to deal with it. It's just as simple as that. Talk about the amount of passengers that are going to come in. You're going to need more police to deal with that, plus the rail service itself. Let's go to the phone now. We have Tom from Clark Summit on trains. Tom.
Rob, hey, how are you doing today?
All right.
I really enjoyed your show. I just want to tell you, I love the aviation portion when you speak about that. I can't even get out of my car, so
I appreciate
it. I really enjoy that, and I literally enjoy hearing about your kids.
Thank you.
So
thank
congratulations
you.
On that.
So planes and trains, not too much different. So what do you got on the trains coming here from New York?
So I lived in Buff. It's funny that I just heard that comment. On the light rail in Baltimore. I lived in Baltimore. Oh, God, I was in my early 20s. I'm in my mid-50s now. The light rail came in. It was great. Like, if you wanted to go down and see a ball game, you got on the light rail. You didn't even need to pay. You paid if they came up and asked you to pay. So most people didn't even pay. But the crime went up by, like, 300 or 400%, the car theft and the crime in the let's just say more affluent suburbs, it went up 300 or 400%, and they down there weren't ready for it. And you would think that a bigger, much bigger city would be ready for that. They were not.
And that's what I'm saying. So, it's all fine and good. I'm willing to take a cautious, optimistic look at this rail coming.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And they've been talking about it for, 30 years, 20 years now? But you have to be prepared for it. And unless I see the city saying, hey, we need to put aside $100,000 a year for the next couple of years so we can hire additional law enforcement, so we can hire additional vehicles, so we can get more public work people. Until I see them taking this seriously, why should I as a taxpayer have to take this seriously?
And again, you said it already. I could see if it was people commuting just to their jobs, but it's stop after stop after stop after stop. I don't know if I could do it myself. I'd be so annoyed every time. So I don't know if it's feasible. It doesn't make sense the way they have it set up.
It looks like we're going to have to see a lot. We're going to need a lot more answers, not people just telling us how great this is, but actual plans and details on how we're going to deal with it, how we're going to manage
it.
That's
a great idea. You know, I'll run up to New York for the day, we'll go shopping or whatever, but I don't see it. I'm sorry. But anyway, I enjoy your show. Just wanted to give you my two cents when I lived in Baltimore, how bad it got in the area. Everyone was worried about their cars.
Yeah, those real examples are exactly what, you know, we want to get out there. So I'm glad you called in, Tom.
Yeah. You can go back and look at the history. You can go back and look at when that light rail went in. Oh, my God. It was bad. And I never heard that statistic you just gave, that when there was something wrong with it, how much the crime rate went down. And, yeah, I know the area very well.
All right.
So, anyway.
Tom,
right,
I appreciate
you
your call.
Have a great day. I enjoy your show.
You too. Thanks for listening, Tom. It's and listen, those are the stories that I want to bring to you. I want to bring to people who've actually have lived it and have seen it. And these are two unconnected people, both lived in Baltimore or lived in Baltimore, giving you basically the same story on what it brought. And listen, if we set up the infrastructure in place and people are getting off the train from New York City or Newark or wherever in New Jersey to come here to Scranton, and they see an omnipresence of law enforcement, if they see, hey, you're not going to get away with anything here, this is not the place for us, if you're looking to do something wrong. You also have other people saying, hey, look how safe this place is. Let's look to buy a home here. Let's start a business here. This looks pretty nice. But you have to have that in place before it starts. And again, when have you gone to a Scranton City Council meeting? When have you gone or heard the mayor of Scranton say, hey, this rail, we're pushing all for it. They're all great for photo ops, saying the rail, yeah, the rail. We're all for it. You have former Senator Casey, former Congressman Cartwright, the mayor, everyone's here. The rail, yes, we're championing this. All right, what are you doing to actually facilitate it once it's in place? They're saying 2028. If you're not saving and putting capital money aside now to hire a dozen new police officers, to get vehicles for them, possibly scooters, those, what are those, the two-wheel scooter, you know what I'm talking about, you stand up on and you ride it around, more bike patrol for these areas in the wintertime, you know, what else do you need to deal with this? More public works people. You know, you're going to have to increase our fire department. You have this train service movement. And listen, this isn't just passenger rail service coming in. Once these rail lines are in place, the money that's made is in containers. The money that's made is in garbage hauling. The money that's made is sending materials and oil and gasoline and coal and propane and all the stuff in there. So what are we doing to beef up our fire departments in our area to help make it safe for everybody? And until I see that proactive planning, again, I'll be cautiously optimistic and raise those questions. It's 3:33 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:38, 80 degrees on this Monday, May 12th, 2025. So Johnson College celebrated its 106th commencement. And what I love about this is it was the largest graduating class ever. Students, family, faculty, and staff came together Saturday at the Johnson College campus in Scranton, celebrated its largest graduating class at the 106th commencement ceremony. It recognized 213 students who completed rigorous programs leading to Associates of Science and Associate of Applied Science degrees and academic certificates in a whole host of hands-on trades that you got to love. This is a great thing. And listen, Johnson College is one of our premier area trade schools, and it's one of the reasons why I keep bringing it up, because they are doing incredible things. If there are other trade programs out there, smaller ones, let me know, because I'm going to continue to push the trades. I'm going to continue to push what some used to call alternate educational opportunities. They're not alternate. That's what we need. That's the mainstay. Going to college to learn third world basket weaving and political science, that is an alternate education. That's something that you're going to have a hard time finding a skill set for that pays you money outside of politics. So we're going to rebrand the trades as the mainstream education, as not alternate education, not differing, untraditional path. It is the traditional path. What could be more traditional in America than becoming a carpenter, learning to work with your hands, becoming a machinist, becoming a welder, becoming a mechanic? What's more traditional? It can't be more traditional. Some of the degrees that came out of this commencement: computer information technology, physical therapist assistant. I think we're all getting older and need some of that in our life. Radiologic technology, veterinary nursing, associates in applied science programs, advanced manufacturing technology, architectural drafting and design technology, automotive technology, aviation technology, biomedical equipment technology, carpentry and cabinet making technology, civil design technology, diesel truck technology, electrical construction technology, which is one of the biggest graduating groups here, you know, if I'm looking at this. Electrical engineering technology. Must be a hard one because there weren't many people in there. And those graduates, I congratulate you. Heating, ventilation, and air conditioning technology. Yay. Something you know we need. Heavy equipment technology. Welding, fabrication, and manufacturing technology. And some certificate programs, building and property maintenance, industrial technology, and welding technology. Congratulations to anyone who chose one of those paths. We need you. America needs you. Our workforce needs you. Almost every company out there needs you in some form or another. So it's great that you're filling that void, doing something that's going to be great for your future. And again, if you're part of a trade organization out there, if you're part of a trade school, if you even on a smaller scale, we want to hear from you because I want to push those things because they are the traditional educational paths. And we need to strive that because you are needed more than almost every other profession out there right now. And it's about time they get the recognition that they deserve. It's 3:42 here at WILK. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for the breakout escape room. Let the rain pour outside while you enjoy a great deal inside with a buy one, get one free for $24. That's two tickets for the price of one. Save it for a rainy day with friends or family while solving one of the immersive escape rooms. Rooms include Rewind Time, Back to the 2000s, Brand New Room, The Lost, Last Chance Saloon, Mission Colossal, or Freak Show. Located at 618 Blackman Street in Wilkes-Barre, visit GetMyPerks.com for all the details. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 80 degrees outside. Get some of that vitamin D while you're out there. At the 4 o'clock hour today, we got a couple of our nation's heroes coming in to talk about the Armed Forces Day Parade that's going to happen here in Scranton. So make sure you tune in after the 4 o'clock hour because it's going to be some great stuff going on. Some of our nation's heroes going to be in the studio to talk about that. WILK has tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series race Sunday, June 22nd at Pocono Raceway. Enter to win grandstand tickets at WILKNewsRadio.com. One winner will win Club Pocono tickets. You can enter once per day. NASCAR Weekend at Pocono is June 19th through the 22nd. Listen, these tickets are the bomb. They are the best of the best. It includes infield parking pass, food and beverage, shaded seats, racing electronic scanner rental, and a paddock pass ticket means you get to go down there and see all the action up close. Not while the race is happening, but other than that. These pair of tickets are worth $1,000. So go to WILKNewsRadio.com and make sure you check in for that. Somebody said, Rob, are you saying my degree in 12th century sub-Saharan poetry is worthless? I hate to tell you, other than playing the guitar next to a fire in the 70s, yeah, I would say it is. Somebody else said, how is it Penn State's local campuses are talking about closing to the lack of enrollment and Johnson College is growing? Because our younger generation is getting smart and not listening to same old, same old. Let me go to the phone now. We have Mike from Wilkes-Barre on the railroad. Mike.
Yes, my thoughts on this railroad. I can't see it making it as is. I think the bottom line here is garbage. You take the counties of Columbia, Carbon, Lackawanna, Luzerne, Schuylkill, all have all of this strip line man just waiting to be filled in with garbage. And I think when this rail line is put in, you're going to be getting garbage anywhere from Boston to Baltimore and all points in between, which would be New York City and Philadelphia. This will be the garbage capital of the world. That's all I got to say.
Oh, Mike, I hear what you're saying there, and it's definitely a concern. Now, these rail tracks, some of them are operational already for garbage and stuff like that. Do we start getting more once they upgrade it for passenger rail? Is the thing we have to watch out. And listen, these same politicians who are pushing this, the same politicians who are telling us this is the right thing for our area, they should be answering those questions as well and putting everybody at ease, don't you think?
Look, I don't trust any politician.
Smart man, Mike, smart man.
And you listen to it, it's all BS.
Yeah.
And like I said, it seems like this area is just ready for to get plucked again.
Yeah, hopefully not. I mean, we've seen our fair share of garbage being dumped on us on a normal basis. We don't need anybody else's anymore. Mike, I appreciate you. Go ahead.
I wish you're right, but I don't think so.
I'm leaning with you there, Mike. I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, buddy. You take her easy.
Thank you. Yeah, I will. Somebody said, Rob, I think I missed it. What's the target date for them to get the railroad up and running? 2028 is the number that's given in the article. Speaking about Penn State's finances and them closing the facilities, Penn State is actually doing well financially, even as it considers closing campuses. Now, they are losing money on these campuses, but as a whole entity, Penn State's actually doing pretty well. They're in the black. And if you look at the numbers that the campuses are down, they're not that much. They're not that much at all. If you look at Wilkes-Barre campus, they went from 362 in the fall of 2020 to 329 in the fall of 2024. That's not much of a drop. And Scranton, it went from 1,012 to 827. Again, not that much of a drop. Not enough to close a school. It's coming up on 3:50 here. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:53 on this Monday, May 12th, 2025. 80 degrees outside. Doesn't get better than this, does it? I mean, the Monday, we could deal with it, though. I just had a funny meme sent to me. It says, give a Democrat a fish and he will eat for a day. Teach a Democrat to fish, and he'll create a fishing license, tax your rod, identify the fish as endangered, and close your fishing spot. Oh, my fishermen out there know what I'm talking about. So you can call or text 570-883-0098. Let me get back on the phone here. We have Doug from Nanico. Doug.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Good, good. So you're talking about the trades.
Yeah, well, so I work at Geisinger in Scranton. He just got out of work, and I tuned in, and you guys were talking about the next generation of, you know, workers and kids going to school. And I just want to put my two cents in, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's why we're here.
Yeah. Well, so I graduated in 2010, and I didn't go to college after I graduated. I saw it as a scam. I didn't do the best in school, so I figured, why would I spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to go to a school to not do well? School wasn't for me, but, you know, I started working for a small mom-and-pop plumbing company, got my feet wet, started at the bottom as a helper, going right up, and then you learn. I think that doing something like that is even feasible for this next generation of kids coming in, because I'm looking at the housing market even and the economy. I mean, they have no chance. Like, they need to learn a skill, like a skill that will they'll carry through their life. I don't know. I just worry. As I get older, I'm starting to see, like, you know, what my parents were dealing with, what their parents were dealing with, you know.
Yes. So what are you doing? You're doing plumbing and stuff like that now?
I'm actually an HVAC tech, plumbing lit to HVAC.
Okay.
And now I do maintenance for the hospital.
Well, let me ask you questions. Have you ever heard that there have been too many plumbers in the world or too many HVAC technicians in the world? People I know are in search for
enough.
Them. Yeah, yeah. And listen, it's a good
still
living.
To this day.
Yeah.
It is a good living. I mean, I make a modest amount. I live comfortably. My wife, she also works at the hospital. You know, we do okay. You know, we don't need to be in a mansion. You don't need all this. Whatever, and we raise our three boys on this. It doesn't get any better than that, as far as I'm concerned. You don't need this tech job. You don't need these useless degrees that they're tricking these kids into going for, like liberal arts. Like, what do you do with that? I haven't even heard of that until like a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, just the programs I read for you at the hospital there. I mean, a radiology technician, they're making a good living.
Yeah.
You know, physical therapist assistant technician.
Yeah.
You know, they're making good livings. And this is a 2-year program. So after 2 years,
yeah.
And listen, I'm sure after a year, you could be working somewhere part time, you know, as an intern, yeah, or as an assistant to get your feet wet in it. And hopefully, you know, especially if you're planning on working there once you get your degree or certificate to do these things. The military, a perfect way to, you know, you want to become,
yeah,
an HVAC.
Yeah.
You had a great startup where you were able to get involved with a mom and pop business to apprentice you and teach you, you know, from the ground up. That's a great way to get that.
Yep.
But, you know, that's a little harder to get on your own unless you know somebody or a go-getter and out there and running around looking for those people. But, you know, you joined,
sure,
the military and you can,
yep,
major in HVAC. You could deal with, I mean, every military base has
I'm
HVAC systems.
Head, like, in 100% agreement. A friend of mine did that. He was in the Army and then he became a plumber through the Army. Like, they'll teach you this stuff too. Like you said, if you can't,
yeah, if money's hard and you can't afford a 2-year trade program,
yep,
you know, look into the military.
They,
you know, you do a couple years,
yeah,
of service, you serve your country, you do something honorable, and you get your skill set to move on and be comfortable. Like you said, live your life in,
yep,
a comfortable way. You don't have to be rich,
yep,
you don't have to break the bank, but you're raising kids, you're having a family, you're buying a house, you're doing these things. You just have to have a plan. And I think a lot of these kids graduate high school, they don't have a plan, and college is just the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th year of high,
yep,
school.
And actually, when I graduated high school, I took a year off. I just continued to work. You know, I was a dishwasher when I graduated. I was, you know, from high school, and I worked my way up from, like, what do I want to do? What catch? I like working with my hands. I'll just try plumbing. Like, why not? What's the harm? And here I am, 10 years later, finally, you know, doing what I'm doing. Am I the best guy in all of the valley for it? No, there's way better guys out there than me, but we all work together. Everybody I've, like, there is no competing businesses. Everybody tries to work together. That, you know, everybody has your back. Everybody's like a whole team. It's all about working together and building the future. I don't know. I'm not trying to sound
No, I hear you. And
like,
listen, if something,
you know what I mean?
Something goes wrong at home with your plumbing, your HVAC, or something like that,
yep,
you can deal with it. You're not paying $100 an hour to have someone come in and do those things. You learned a life skill set. And even if you retire after 20, 30 years of doing what you're doing, something goes wrong at your house, you know, you don't have to hire somebody to come in. You learn that,
yep,
skill set. It's going to benefit you for the rest of your life. You have grandkids, you know, they're going to have houses. I mean, my kids call me all the time to fix stuff. Hey, can you come,
yep,
and fix this? It's a great way to be, to have those skill sets, those trades, working with your hands.
Absolutely. But yeah, I just wanted to call and say hi, and hopefully some younger kids are listening, I hope, you know, and they kind of hear the message, like, it's okay, you don't have to go to college. You can go,
yeah, no doubt,
to Johnson College or Fortis Institute or wherever, you know.
Yeah.
So,
Doug, I'm so glad you called today. It was a great story, great input from
thanks
you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And listen, those are the stories I want you to hear. Those are the stories I want to pursue for you people out there. And again, if you go to these colleges and you say, you know, I just don't have the money. There's something I want to do. I just don't have the money. There are options out there. There are options out there. So follow your dream. If it's working with your hands, you are the traditional employer. Here's 4 o'clock. We'll be back.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.